Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. Top of today's front page, we learn that the Tolono fire has resulted in the total loss of a home, but not hope for a local family. This article by Diane Ducey. Jerry and Sarah Hughes, despite facing total devastation of their house fire at the end of last week, March 13th and 14th, say that God has a plan and a purpose for good in all of this. Wednesday, March 12th, had the couple concerned about some plumbing issues in the house. And like many homeowners with older properties, one problem seemed to lead to another. In the end, some electrical malfunction or power line to the home could be the source of the first fire issue during this ongoing investigation. The homeowner, Jerry Hughes, after talking to his insurance company, learned about thermal imaging detection devices and how challenging it can be to find heat sources in old farmhouse walls. The fire reignited in the early morning hours of Friday, March 14th, with fire departments in Philo, Tolono, Homer, Savoy, and Posotum all on the scene at 962 County Road 1350 East in Tolono off Race Street. The family was displaced after the first fire, but had a plan in place as a neighbor had a rental house nearby. Sons Mason, who is married and living in Tuscola, and Duncan, who's studying biomedical engineering at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, along with their 17-year-old daughter Shelby, were not home at the time, and all of their pets were safe. Philo Exchange Bank has set up a place for donations to help the Hugheses with gift cards at places to buy clothes that fit right and suit their style, as well as groceries and essentials. Jerry feels humbled by the overwhelming generosity and support from family, friends, and the community. One day, in learning from this experience, he talked about being an advocate for people who experience a fire or other type of disaster to not lose hope. This has also had him thinking about when a fire occurs, could there be some technology developed to send a signal to a property owner in case a hot spot should ignite? Overall, the Hugheses are grateful for their lives, their health, their pets, and they feel blessed to live in Rocket Nation as they prepare to enter a different chapter of their lives. Next up, we have our weekly report from the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees. At their March 13th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting, was covered by Ann Roten, our news correspondent. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees met on Thursday, March 13th in the Sydney Community Building Meeting Room at 7:30 p.m. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith brought the special meeting to order at 7:30 p.m. following the decision to not recite the Pledge of Allegiance by all in attendance. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith, all six trustees, the Village of Sydney clerk, and the Village of Sydney attorney were present. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith asked if there was any public comment. There was no public comment, and President Arrowsmith moved on to ask Village of Sydney Board of Trustees and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers to lead a discussion concerning the purchase of trees to be planted within the village. A motion from Trustee Bickers, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattikin, following discussion to include that trees cost $440 each to spend up to $9,000 on the purchase of trees to be planted within the Village of Sydney, carried. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith then announced that Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Jeff Wyant had given his 2 weeks' notice and that the Village of Sydney needed to get a job description notice put into the newspapers to get someone hired quickly. Discussion concerning the job description took place, resulting with the following to be included within the updated job description, and that is that the employee would need to attend all of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meetings, that the job will be paying $25 to $35 an hour, depending on experience, and that, although not mandatory, they would prefer that job applicants live within 15 miles of the village. A motion from Trustee Brett Harris, seconded by Trustee Matt Laurent, to approve the Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor job description, carried. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith brought the Board of Trustees special meeting to adjournment at 7:57 p.m., following a motion from Trustee Tyler Bickers and a second from Trustee Dan Gadikin. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, April 7th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building, located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. Continuing on with more local news from the Village of Sydney, we have the weekly Sydney Scoop, contributed by Anne Roten. The Sydney Lions Club president, Bill Hench, invited your correspondent, Anne Roten, and her husband as guests to attend their Tuesday, March 11th meeting. We were very honored to be there and to spend time with the Sydney Lions Club. A catered dinner was enjoyed by all who attended, and Jim Rossow, Vice President of News at the Champaign-Urbana News-Gazette, was the guest speaker. While at the meeting, we learned that the Sydney Lions Club 66th Annual Sydney Lions Club donations accepted all-you-can-eat fish fry will take place on Saturday, May 3rd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. The Sydney Lions Club is also looking for new members. Anyone interested in being a member can call the Sydney Lions Club president, Bill Hench, for more information. His number is 217-649-6989. Anne Roten will be at the March 13th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees special meeting coverage, which we just read before this article. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 regular monthly meeting should have taken place on March 17th. However, your correspondent will report on that meeting in next week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance. They park at the Sydney Community Building parking lot at 211 East Main Street the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that the Foodmobile will be in Sydney is Tuesday, April 1st, and everyone can visit the Food Bank website at eifoodbank.org. Eifoodbank is all one word. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, April 7th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. The Sydney Improvement Group, known as the SIG, sponsored Easter Egg Hunt will take place on Saturday, April 12th at 9 a.m. at Witt Park in Sydney. Participating age groups for the event are toddlers who are 2 years of age, 3 to 5 year olds, then 6 and 7 year olds, and then 8 and 10 year olds. This is all laid out in the SIG Facebook page. So mark your calendars and save the dates for this year's Sydney Fun Days, which is coming up on Friday and Saturday, July 25th and July 26th. Have a great week. And if you or your organization have news items you want to publish, you can drop a line to our Sydney correspondent, Anne Roten, at P.O. Box 491 in Sydney, which is 61877, or you can call Anne directly at 217-688-2812 during business hours. Please don't hesitate to leave a message if there's no answer. News items must be turned into Anne by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. That's our news for this week from Sydney, Illinois. Central Illinois has seen so many fantastic celestial presentations during the nighttime skies, so we're going to start keeping up with that news. This article called The Night Sky is by David Leake, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College and co-founder of the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society. And this news covers the coming week, March 19th to 25th. The vernal equinox occurs at 4 a.m. early tomorrow morning, signaling the official start of spring. Thank goodness. On this day, the sun will be situated directly above Earth's equator, so people there would be standing on their own shadows at noon. We'll see the sun 50 degrees high in the south at noon, halfway between the two extremes, the summer and winter solstices. If you rise before the sun on Saturday morning, look southward for a third quarter moon and note its position. The moon is normally low in this part of the sky due to the Earth's 23.5 degree axial tilt. But the moon's orbit is also off about 5 degrees from the plane of the solar system. Simply put, sometimes the moon is lower than other times, and this Saturday morning it is going to be about as low as you'll ever see the moon compared to the rest of the southern horizon. Venus passes between the sun and Earth on Sunday, so early risers will soon see it in the morning sky. We've had Venus in our evening sky for quite a while, so it's time to give the morning viewers a look at something exciting, too. Next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. It's all about books and more books. It's Christmas, Easter, and the 4th of July, all rolled into one. And as much as I would like to take most of these treasures home with me, says our librarian, I'm going to restrain myself and leave them for you to pick up first. We have two new large print books by popular authors. Jojo Moy's new book out is called We All Live Here, and the synopsis says, Lila Kennedy, a best-selling author, that's Lila Kennedy, a best-selling author of a book about keeping your marriage alive, is now watching her ex-husband with another woman while her daughters are misbehaving and mad at their dad, and her stepdad has moved into her house after her mother died, while her dad, a failed Hollywood actor who has used up every line of credit and his girlfriend's goodwill, has ended up on his daughter's doorstep. Whew! There are assorted others all living under this one roof, so check out this book and find out the rest of this crazy story. Next up, Sandra Moon's latest is called Blood Moon. A three-year-old case of a missing girl has caught the attention of a true crime series. The producer of the show senses there's a bigger story than just one girl disappearing on the night of the Blood Moon. She learns there have been a string of vanishings of teenage girls in nearby areas, and the one thing that is common among them is that it's always done on the night with a blood moon. Christina Dodd has a darkly romantic thriller called Girl Anonymous, with a plot straight out of Hollywood. Next up, All the Other Mothers Hate Me by Sarah Harman features a 31-year-old party girl who has one reason to get out of bed each day, her 10-year-old son, Dylan. After a class trip, a boy who has been bullying Dylan and is heir to a vast frozen food empire disappears. Dylan is the prime suspect. Mom, who has no investigative skills, has to find the kidnapped heir and clear her own son's name. Author John Stanford has a new Lucas Davenport and Virgil Flowers novel called Lethal Prey. It's just waiting for someone to take it home. Something I had not heard of, but sounds like a really good opportunity this month, is Hoopla's Movie Club. In March, Hoopla invites you to immerse yourself in the thrilling world of Jason Statham. Explore a curated collection of the best Jason Statham movies on Hoopla Digital, ranging from lead roles to smaller parts that still pack a punch. Borrow, stream, and download on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, and more with your library card and Hoopla. Want more information? Check out Hoopla. So, until next week, thanks for reading from everyone at the Philo Library. Next up, we have an item from Sidoris, and that is inviting you to the 4-H Easter Egg Hunt on April 19th. The Sidoris 4-H All-Stars have been quite busy the last few months with many different events, including caroling, fundraising, and many other club activities. Last meeting, the club got to learn the process of presenting your project at the county fair. After that, the 4-H kids broke into groups to discuss their plans for their activities at Tatman. Their next upcoming event is their annual Easter Egg Hunt, happening on Saturday, April 19th at the Sidoris Park. 4-H Club members will hide eggs for any kids who wish to go out for the hunt. Kids are welcome from grades preschool through 10-year-olds in fifth grade. Everyone is welcome, and the Easter egg hunt is free to attend. It will start at 9 p.m. at the Sidoris Park and last until 10:15, so that's on Saturday, April 19th, the day before Easter. Next, we have our weekly report from The Giving Place. The Giving Place started as a way for church and community to minister to the Unit 7 School District and help those in need. This ministry will continue for as long as we are able. If you know of any families in the Unit 7 School District that are in need, please encourage them to visit The Giving Place on Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. This past Wednesday, The Giving Place served five families, one of which was new, including 30 people and 15 children. The food given away totaled $500, which was consisted of 10 boxes at about $50 worth of food per box. Thanks to Dixie, Judy, Linda, Karen, Pastor Gail, Dale, and Mike for serving our clients on Wednesday nights. Also thanks to Pastor Gail, Dale, and Mike for going out and purchasing the food. We're always looking for people to volunteer for the Giving Place's Wednesday night food and clothing distributions. Please contact Roberta Bleichner if you would like to volunteer. Feel free to visit any Wednesday and see all of the blessings that are happening, and maybe you'll want to become a part of the Giving Place. And speaking of the Unit 7 School Board, we have a rundown of their most recent meeting, at which they discussed building repairs, ages for the bus school bus riders, new athletic programs, and recognized some valuable volunteers. This article by Diane Ducey. On Wednesday, March 12th, Community Unit School District No. 7's Board of Education meeting was moved from the Unity Junior High Media Center to the cafeteria because of the school's book fair. Laura Fitzgerald, the principal of Unity Junior High, did a shout-out to the librarian, Mrs. Webb, for being in the spotlight and honored by a local radio station. the way the wrestling program came back to Unity with state trophies and a quick report about how Unity East was able to get a $500 grant called Illini Empowering Education. We may see that money used to contribute to a field trip to the Chicago museums. Linda Felsman, who's helped special ed students for years, also got applause and recognition, as Rocket recognition was given to deserving people as the meeting started. During the reports about the building and grounds, flooring issues in restrooms around Unit 4 need to be addressed, as well as the high school kitchen, which is due for new tile. Repairs and resealing bids were also discussed as an agenda item, and two bus companies, including the one we now use, which is called First Student, are putting in bids to give students rides on various routes. The topic of bus ages was touched on, with hopes to have more modern vehicles that is 3 to 5 years old for students to be transported in. Representatives talked about the average life of a bus being about 12 years, and most of the buses in the current fleet are around 9 years old. With an upcoming agenda item being about some new athletic programs with smaller teams, activity vans, and white bus use came into this discussion, with coaches and advisors possibly getting trained for a CDL light driving permit, as all money-saving options are being considered. Unity Junior High School's physical education and fitness programs had students participating in a presentation about learning the basics and rules from 10 different sports. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade coaches talked about learning the basics and the rules from 10 different sports. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade coaches talked about fitness tests and building students' confidence, being inclusive while learning foundational skills. Teaching Rockets about the way a body moves, as well as achieving goals and celebrating success, keep middle school students engaged in PE classes 5 days a week. Testimonials from a few of the girls describing their workouts, the way they bond with others in their small group, and feeling challenged got a round of applause from attendees. New athletic programs had families interested in fall and winter sideline cheer and a golf team listening and even chiming into the discussion when the board inquired about a good feeder program. Three of the families attending talked about local summer golfing and junior PGA camps, having equipment already, and the smaller number on the team could lend the new program to using the 8-person van if it's available, or other smaller activity buses. Some of the more knowledgeable coaches familiar with programs in other schools mentioned that there can be 6 varsity golfers, with 4 that already have a qualifying score, to continue playing in tournaments. Numbers for the basketball team could be up to 30 to 35 players, managers, coaches, and statisticians riding the yellow bus during the busier season with the highest number of games. If a bus typically seats 55 to 60 students, then the cheerleaders could also ride comfortably, just like they do on the co-ed track and field competitions. Dr. Brian Brink, Unit 7 superintendent, talked about the 485 students at Unity High, now with projections pointing to a dip in enrollment in upcoming years. He expressed concerns about diluting the other mainstream sports that Unit 7 already offers, with such great success stories and state trophies being brought back to the school regularly. Finally, a motion was made to accept sideline cheering in fall and winter, with 2 separate audition seasons that could lead to different people on the respective teams, as well as golf. It passed after a vote from the Board of Education as the meeting wrapped up with clapping and parents talking amongst themselves about how excited they are about the opportunities ahead as they left the meeting. The next Unit 7 School Board meeting will take place at the UJHS Media Center on April 16th at 7 p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. Next up, we learn that Parkland College is set to host their Spring 2025 Open House on March 28th. Discover what Parkland College has to offer through its academic programs, campus life, support services, and more during the college's Spring Open House on Friday, March 28th. The open house will take place from 10 a.m. to noon in the college's student union, as well as in various labs in the main campus and Parkland College on Mattis. Designed for high school students, parents of college-bound students, and community members, the open house allows visitors to tour the campus and have their questions answered from the admissions department, the financial aid office, and counseling offices. The health professions portion of the open house will take place in the L wing of the campus and at the H building of Parkland College, located at 1309 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign. All different kinds of programs, including dental hygiene, nursing, practical nursing, radiologic technology, respiratory care, surgical technology, and veterinary technology programs will be featured in the L wing. The H building will feature emergency medical services, fire service, medical assisting, nursing assistant, and occupational therapy programs. Parkland's Career and Technical Education Division will host scheduled tours of the facilities and equipment labs in the B wing of the main campus and in the T and W buildings on the west side of campus. Faculty and departmental staff will be on hand to answer questions about the programs and training opportunities. Guests will be able to view all the available tour times at the CTE table in the student union, where you will be welcomed. Shuttle service will be available for guests traveling between the main campus, Parkland on Mattis, and the CTE outbuildings. Please register for the open house at parkland.edu and look for the link for the open house. For more information, you can contact the Admissions and Records Office at 217-351-2482, or you can email them at admissions@parkland.edu. And in a quick call out to Philo, volunteer firefighters served at the Philo Tavern, working behind the bar, selling raffle tickets and serving food for donations on Sunday, March 16th. It's called O Philo Fest, and it's a yearly event always scheduled around St. Patrick's Day, and the Philo volunteer firefighters served free corned beef and cabbage, green beer, and more. All benefits and donations go to the Philo Fire Protection District. Next year, watch out for O Philo Fest around St. Patrick's Day in Philo. And next up, we have our weekly news from the Tolono Library. March is Women's History Month, so come celebrate her story at the Tolono Public Library all month long. We have some great displays showcasing books celebrating some amazing women in history. On Friday, March 21st, from 3:30 to 4:30, we will have Reading with Your Dog. Visit the cutest pups and share some reading time. Early voting will be from March 24th to March 31st at the library. Hours are Monday through Friday, 11 to 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 to 4 p.m., and Sunday, 1 to 4 p.m. Election day is actually April 1st, 2025. Reminder that there is no coffee talk on March 19th, as the library will be closed for staff training. This concludes our reading of this week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.